Welcome to a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget you can follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. So we're going to have our guest on for this week a little bit later, Brian Burns, Lightning reporter at TampaBayLightning.com. We love him, one of our good friends. That's coming up a little bit later in the show, but, you know, I know it's basically a Lightning podcast, but, you know, we've talked about this player before, and I feel like after seeing the hit from Friday, it deserves to be brought up again, and it was one of those hot-button issues for Erik Erlandson, man. I've never heard him so, like... so upset about something. Of course, we're talking about Tom Wilson from the Washington Capitals. I feel like, you know, we talk about him at least, I don't know, four times a year, five times a year.
I cannot for the life of me figure out. So we had Erik on earlier this season speaking about the Tom Wilson issues.
Right.
He was a dirty player.
He was suspended for a whole bunch of games.
And then, right, it was 20, and then a mediator kind of talked it down to 14.
But he had already missed 15, so he came back early. Whatever.
Yeah.
And it was from a hit in the preseason?
I don't remember.
It was a hit. It was a dirty hit.
The guy hit so much.
I know.
I'm being serious. I'm not being funny. It's
no.
So much and so often that I can't keep track of them.
Yeah.
I think it was the one from the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, probably, yeah.
And then... So we had Erik Erlandson, the wonderful Erik Erlandson on. He was very fired up.
Yeah.
A lot of you guys tweeted us like, holy heck, I've never heard Erik Erlandson.
He's such an even-keeled guy.
So nice and calm.
But you mentioned Tom Wilson and he just...
And I believe he said several times since that he gives the over and under on Tom Wilson getting suspended again once he comes back 8 games. Well, it took 9.
Wow.
Well, we don't know if he's suspended yet.
Right.
I'm sure he will be.
At the time of this recording, we're not sure about the suspension yet.
Correct. But it is an absolute... It's a brutal hit.
It's a blind hit from behind.
On Brett Seni of... and so, yeah, he's out of nowhere, open ice. Seni gets rid of the puck, and boom, here comes Wilson.
From behind him. He doesn't even see him.
No. He just clips him. The guy goes down. Seni grabs his head. And you're just like, really, brother? Again, dude? Because it's got to stop.
And some Tom Wilson fans, if there are any out there, will be like, well, you know, everybody's just going to, like, do that when Tom hits somebody.
No.
The guy never even saw him.
No.
He doesn't know who hit him because it's from behind.
Yep. He passes the puck. Boop. Down. I just think that this guy is just an absolute abomination to this sport. And yeah. In a way, it's a gentleman's sport. I was explaining it to somebody that doesn't understand hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of just explaining, like, you know, well, they made the comment about, well, fighting is okay. I'm like, fighting's not okay.
That's
what people don't understand. It's not. They wait and, you know, you don't see refs break it up. Officials break it up because they have to care about their safety, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, as well. I just ran it down. Everything, you know, hockey fans, we know.
Right.
And he was like, it's almost like a gentleman's sport. And I'm like, yes. And I was anybody that listened to our Rob Kennedy thing, a few interview, people were fascinated that the home team does the visiting team's
laundry. Yeah.
And it was another thing. Like, it's really strange that, you know, it's a real gentleman's sport. And I was like, it is a gentleman's sport when you think about it.
Well, at
it
the
is.
End of, you know, series in the playoffs,
yes,
they shake hands, you know.
This has no room in this game.
Here's the thing. Okay.
Meaning
our history, you know, you think Broad Street Bullies, there are those enforcers from back in the day. However, not the game at this point in time.
No.
With all of the reports on concussions and dangerous hits and the health of players once they leave the league, this is one of those things that they have tried to eliminate from the game with that extra disciplinary action. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Tom Wilson. Probably by the time this podcast airs, they will have released whatever
something.
They're doing with him. But he's dangerous on the ice. Like, I wouldn't want to be a player on an ice sheet of ice with Tom Wilson.
I mean, I wouldn't either. And it's...
Like, I feel like he had enough time to know that that's not a good hit to make.
Oh, listen, he knows.
You know? like, I know there's the speed of the game and you know, some things that happen and all, you know, like the McDonough hit.
Perfect example.
From Jack Eichel, you know, that was one of those, like, bad timing things.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it was malicious or...
I don't think Eichel's...
Yeah, or, like, he meant to do it.
Right.
This looks like he had plenty of time to back off from that.
He did.
And I didn't see the rest of the game. I don't know if there was some stuff going on between the two players beforehand or whatever. Regardless, that is not right.
No.
And I mean, that's not the game now. And I really hope that they kind of come down on him.
I do, too. And I do, too. I don't feel there's a place for it. You know, we joked last year... Or last season, I guess I should say, about, you know, the Lickster.
But
that was gross.
Brad Marchand.
Yes. Well, I'm just going to call him the Lickster from now.
Okay.
And it was gross.
Yeah.
And it was disgusting. And it was just poor sportsmanship.
Yeah.
But it didn't hurt any. Well, we hope.
Yeah.
We hope. It didn't hurt anyone. This guy is hurting
people. Yeah.
And we know we've seen so many things in the players' Tribune and all these write-ups that these hockey players are coming out and being so forthcoming about their struggles with, you know, the concussions and how they feel and their pain and their fighting through and the drive that they have, and they'll do anything to do it. And it's coming to light, like, hey, we got to get these guys help. Things like this aren't helping.
No.
Because...
Well, and most of the league has cleaned up.
Oh, yeah.
There are only a couple offenders. And when you remember a couple of years ago when they first started the extra disciplinary actions and they would have the video reviews come out and, like, the player safety guy would explain why it's a penalty, why they're being extra, you know, disciplined and all that. It used to be like 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now we maybe see it two times a week, maybe 8 times a month, if that. I don't really see it that often anymore.
Once in every 10 games that Tom Wilson plays in.
Yeah. But this is what they're trying to eliminate,
yeah.
So I want to see what they're going to do.
I do, too. And I'm just so disgusted by the fact that people have the audacity to defend it. I know some of his teammates were, didn't think it was a dirty hit or he meant to do it. And of course, fans are fans. But he knows better.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is watching the play, you know, watching Senny come up and he knows that what he's going to do, either his brain doesn't
compute
what's about to happen, like it shuts off, which is a problem. Or he just doesn't care. And 20 games or 14 games, that's a lot of games to be sitting out without a paycheck. And I'll say it again. I felt the Capitals kind of rewarded him a bit.
Ooh.
After last, you know, season. I kind of do. I get locker room. I get that mantra. I get that. But at some point you have to look at it and go, I'm not going to be Tom Wilson's teammate forever. I'm not going to be Tom Wilson's on the coaching staff forever.
Right.
And now, you know, you have to put yourself in the other player's situation. I honestly think if I played for the Washington Capitals, I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't comment at all.
No.
You want to stay out of it?
Yeah.
You know, you want to keep your, you know, be a good teammate up? I totally understand that. Just say nothing.
Yeah.
Don't defend him.
Just quiet.
Just be quiet about it. And he probably does have a target on his back, and teams are going to get upset about it. And every time he does hit the ice, people are going to be looking for it, because that's what we've come to expect, because that's what his behavior has led us to this point now.
Right.
And it's, it's a witch hunt. They're targeting him now. No, he's done this to himself.
Yeah, and
I know.
It's a witch hunt he's targeting. The guy never saw who it was. I mean... And he falls to the ice and he's holding his head. I mean,
yeah. And I think you're Jack Eichel. I think that is absolutely perfect, because I saw on social media a lot of Lightning fans. Okay. I don't understand this whole, there was this big blow up. I saw a Lightning fan said, a Sabres fan had said, I was at that game. I've never been to a Lightning game before. I cannot believe how fast it was. I cannot believe what amazing. How great it was. So much fun. It was such a cool atmosphere. And then a Lightning fan kind of, I think, maybe, you know, had a little too much Canadian ginger ale at the game, was kind of like trash talking, which I don't understand. Don't trash talk if you win. That's dumb. And said that the Sabres were dirty and this and that. And I was like, you know.
It was a compete level.
It was a compete level. But I don't feel that, personally, I don't feel Eichel intentionally no. tried to.
No, and he, there was even a quote where it was like, you know, I wasn't intended. I didn't.
And guys that mean that say that because we've seen Hedman say things mm-hmm. like that before. Like, I did not mean to do that.
Because it's a fast game.
It is.
There are things where things are just going to happen. Collisions are going to happen. You know, somebody moves in the last second. You know, you can't account for those things.
Nope.
If you watch the Tom Wilson hit. Now, granted, it was probably slowed down a little bit, but
yeah, honestly, the whole thing
when the player's back is to you and you don't start charging at him.
Yeah, I don't want to retweet it because I don't want to cause a firestorm on our Twitter. But hey, you can check out Erik Erlandson.
Right.
And his Twitter, he's got the a kind of a gif of it, a slow motion. And he also has another longer video from the NHL Network that he retweeted.
Okay.
So go ahead and check it out. Yeah. And go ahead and let us know what you think. I just...
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't want that filth on our channel.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, you were talking about, you know, the concussions and all the struggles that, you know, players are coming out. I'm going to talk about football here for a minute. I've really been into listening to Serial podcast, not the Serial podcast. I've already listened to that. But
I was trying to figure out how that tied into football.
Yeah, other podcasts. And there is a podcast from the Boston Globe called Gladiator. And it's a 7 or 6 part series about Aaron Hernandez. Now, whatever you think of Aaron Hernandez is whatever you want to think about him. But it's very interesting. It follows from when he was a kid to when he was in the NFL to when he was, you know, in jail and, you know, committed suicide. It's really sad when he, you know, his brain was donated for research and the findings of the brain. Now, granted, they're not saying because he had all this. His brain was so severely damaged, it caused him to murder people.
Oh, no. Listen,
the link they're making.
Yeah.
But when you look back at other aspects of his life, you can see how that traumatic brain injuries could warp the view of a human being.
Yeah.
So if you like true crime stuff.
Is it like a true crime type?
Kind of.
Okay.
But it's like true crime with sports and like, you know,
investigative reporting.
It's from the Spotlight group that in Boston that did the whole Catholic Church thing.
Oh.
So it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. It's on iTunes and it's free. So if you want to check that out. But, you know, it's whether you like hockey or you like both football and hockey, I think you'll find a lot of value in it. It's very interesting. So definitely something for you to check out. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with our guest this week, Brian Burns.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT with Dory.
Hey.
Follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Dory, why don't you intro our guest?
All right. I'd love to. Our guest is, you guys know him as the Lightning reporter for the Tampa Bay Lightning. We know him as a super great guy who's very kind, a snazzy dresser, as CT loves pointing out. And I love his game notes because they're amazing. It's the wonderful Brian Burns. How are you today, Brian?
I'm great. How are you all doing?
Oh, we're doing good.
We're good. I mean, we're in a good spot this season, you know? We're trying to nitpick to find things that we can talk about because they're playing so well.
Yeah, there's not a lot to really complain about at this point right now.
No. You know, the only thing that's kind of starting to worry me a bit, not worry, we're not hitting the panic button
here.
But we have some guys out right now. But our depth is being tested a bit, and they seem to be doing well. You know, Strawman could be returning at any point. If not, has returned already at the time of this recording. Vasilevsky out still for a little longer. We're not really sure what's happening with Ryan McDonagh at this point. But Palat has returned. You have any insight onto a couple of those guys for us?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Anton Strawman probably won't be back until December 5th. He's going to be reevaluated, so I wouldn't see him back before that date. So it looks like, you know, a little bit longer for him, which when he was injured, we thought, you know, it might just be a game or two, and then he'd be able to get back in. And even that last road trip the guys were on when they went to, you know, they ended it in Philly and Nashville with the dad's trip, we figured at some point on that trip he would be back in the lineup. And he must have had a little bit of a setback because it's still been a little bit for him to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's out. McDonagh is day-to-day. We all saw the hit that he took from Eichel going kind of headfirst into the boards, which was a scary situation there. Good to see that he was able to get up and kind of skate off under his own power, but not really sure what's going on there. I would suspect that he will probably be out for a game or two. He is on the trip. You know, maybe he gets in one of those games. Not really sure, but he is on the trip. So that's a good sign that at least he's not definitely out for all three of those games. And then Vazzy, you know, he could be back as early as like December 13th, I think would be 4 weeks.
Whoa.
From the foot injury, and as late as December 27th. That would be about 6 weeks. So sometime in that range, I think you could expect to see Andrei Vasilevsky back. But, you know, for me, like when they beat Buffalo, and that was a really, you know, just a really intense playoff type of game. And I think Buffalo really wanted to make a statement that they were for real and wanted to do it against one of the best teams, you know, historically yep. over the last few seasons in the league in their home arena. I think it kind of bodes well for the Lightning that they were still able to come out of that game with a victory with, you know, Anton Strawman not playing, with Ryan McDonagh out for most of the game. They lost Dan Girardi for a little bit during the game. They didn't have Andrei Vasilevsky, so they had all these big players out, and they were mm-hmm. still able to come through with the win, which I thought was just kind of spoke to the depth on the team.
Yeah, so kind of want to circle back in our first segment. I don't know if you've seen the latest Tom Wilson hit out of Washington, but we kind of compared it to the hit, the difference between the two hits, that one and the one Eichel made on McDonagh, and how that one was just kind of a factor of the speed of the game. We don't think it was intentional. What did you see when that happened?
Yeah, I didn't think, you know, Eichel's hit was egregious. I didn't think it was something where he was looking to really injure
mm-hmm.
Ryan McDonagh. I you know, he was in a bad position, McDonagh was, and he was kind of leaning forward
mm-hmm.
When the hit came. So I think that kind of exacerbated a little bit. You know, it was a power, certainly, you know, it was a big game for Buffalo. They were had just gone on the power play. Certainly they wanted to try to capitalize on that power play. So I don't think Jack Eichel was doing anything that would negate that power play, which he did. So I just think it's one of those situations where it was a tough spot for McDonagh, and Eichel hit him in a vulnerable area. And,
mm-hmm.
And we saw the result of that with Tom Wilson. You know, it's just kind of dumbfounding that this guy continues to make these plays, and then after all said and done, he kind of plays the woe is
yeah.
me card. Everybody's just looking to
The witch hunt.
Yeah, he had plenty of time to avoid that hit, and whether or not it was head contact or not, it looked really bad, and, mm-hmm. and there was no reason for the hit. So, yeah, I don't really compare the two hits. I don't think Eichel was doing anything malicious. I don't know if Wilson was necessarily trying to be malicious. It just seems like that's in his DNA, and it looks malicious to everybody else. So,
well,
I don't know what to think about that one.
I hope they kind of figure this out long term before we meet Washington on the ice
yeah.
again, because I really don't want him, you know, on the ice with our guys. So, you brought up the Buffalo game. It was a crazy atmosphere. Like, I was on the edge of my seat the entire game. But I kind of want to look at the dichotomy between the Anaheim game, which was just 2 days before, and then the Buffalo game. Two very different teams going through their own struggle, like own different things right now. Anaheim, they're riddled with injuries, but they're a big West Coast team that we don't see often. And then Buffalo comes in. It's a fight for first place. What kind? Can you break those two games down for us a little bit in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, that Anaheim game was probably, as far as just the atmosphere inside the arena and the play on the ice, was probably the worst regular season game, at least at home, for the Lightning this season. There just wasn't a ton of energy. And, and Anaheim has shown this throughout the last couple of times that the Lightning have played them, that they really do a good job of just making life difficult for the other team. There's certain teams that the Lightning play against that aren't really hard to play against. I think back to the Chicago game earlier in that homestand where, you know, the Blackhawks, they just wanted to go up and down the ice, and they didn't clog up the neutral zone, and they didn't really spend too much time trying to thwart some of the Lightning's odd man rushes in that speed game, where that's all Anaheim wanted to do. They just wanted to limit their time and space in the neutral zone. They wanted to make sure they couldn't get that speed game going. They, like you said earlier, they're that a big physical West Coast team, and they really used that to kind of lean on the Lightning and make it difficult for them. And they did that last season at Amalie Arena, and they came out with the 4-1 victory. And we saw the same kind of blueprint this time. They were just, you know, really good in the neutral zone. The Lightning never got that offense crank. And even though they had a pretty sizable shot advantage, they didn't have, like, too many really, really good scoring opportunities. And credit to Anaheim for just doing a really good job of being tough to play against, being physical and making life a little bit miserable for the Lightning. It reminds me of a few seasons ago when the Lightning played Detroit in the first round in that playoff series that went 7 games. And just Detroit just made it absolutely really hard for the Lightning to just get through the neutral zone, and a lot of interference, a lot of clogging up of things, and just the Lightning couldn't get the offense going like it had during the regular season. And that's that same style of game that Anaheim plays. And you know, someone asked me earlier if I thought that it was kind of a trap game for the Lightning. I didn't necessarily think that, you know, the Lightning were looking ahead to that Buffalo game. I just think it's one of those things where Anaheim played a style of game that the Lightning is going to give the Lightning a lot of problems, and they played it really well. They got great goaltending from Brian Miller in that game, and that was just a really good recipe for them to come out of there with a victory. And then, yeah, like you said, 2 days later, Buffalo, that was one of the better regular season games I've seen since I've been with the Lightning. That game, you know, it just felt like a team, Buffalo, that, you know, they were coming in on the 10-game win streak. Everybody in the NHL was talking about them for the first time in a long time. I mean, they've really been a team that everybody's just kind of forgotten about for the last few years because they haven't been that good. Now they've got everybody watching them, and you could just tell they really wanted to make that a game where they could prove to everybody that they were for real, that they were going to be a contender, not only in the Atlantic Division, but in the Eastern Conference. And they wanted to show that, you know, kind of measure how they were against, you know, who the team that's regarded as, you know, maybe the best team in the Eastern Conference, maybe the best team in the NHL. I mean, I think everybody feels like the Lightning are going to be a team that's they're contending for a Stanley Cup in the end. And I think Buffalo wanted to kind of measure how they were against that Lightning team. And I thought they played really well. And I thought the Lightning played really well, too. I thought they responded to the challenge and met that challenge. And it was, as a result, we saw one of the best games of the season. I was reading on Twitter, you know, people from outside the market were just talking about how compelling of a game it was, and how they weren't able to, you know, they had stuff to do, but they didn't want to turn the game off because it was just so back and forth. And it's just one of those games where, like, every shift, every play that someone made, you felt like if there was, like, one mistake that was going to be made, it was really going to be magnified in that game because the other team was going to be able to take advantage. And it had all the markings of that playoff type of game, and a really good result for the Lightning to come out of that one with a victory.
I agree. We're talking with Brian Burns, Tampa Bay Lightning reporter for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And you can follow him on Twitter at BBurnsNHL, correct?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Yeah, to your point about the Buffalo Sabres, I've been very impressed with how they've played this year. I know people from Buffalo. It was their first time at the Lightning game. I mentioned this in our first segment on the show. And they were just blown away by how fast the Lightning actually are on the ice. And, you know, we're kind of a little spoiled. Dan Lucas likes to call us a little spoiled here. But I think we almost don't realize how fast the Lightning are. But when you see a fan from Buffalo that's down here and sees them and is just like, wow, this team is so fast. And they're a young team. And the crazy thing about the Sabres is they have 3 first-round draft picks next year. this team is kind of just starting their climb, I think. So I think it was definitely a statement game for them. They played, I thought, the Lightning, I want to say maybe harder than I've seen anybody play the Lightning in a long time. And I think it was kind of like a chip on their shoulder. Like, if we beat them, we've proven ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And you talk about the Buffalo fan that you talked to. I thought their fan base made that game a little bit. There were a ton of Buffalo fans in the building. And they were loud and they were into it right from the beginning. And it's always interesting to me. I think Lightning fans tend to sit on their hands a little bit when they're watching the team. And when other fan bases get in there and start making noise, and that gets the Lightning fan base going because they don't want to get drowned out by the opposing fans in their own arena. So that really makes for a great atmosphere of both fan bases going back and forth. And I think that kind of led to more of that playoff type atmosphere in that game.
Do you think that this could, I mean, listen, we're only, you know, a third of the way through the year or anything. Do you think this could be a little bit of a preview maybe of something we see down the line?
As far as a playoff series, potentially,
I can't answer
really
that.
For Buffalo, what it all comes down to is their goaltending. I think they've had all the pieces there over, even last year, I thought they were a kind of a dark horse playoff team. But they just have never had the goaltending, consistent goaltending to really make much noise. And this year so far, they're getting it with Carter Hutton. He's been playing absolutely unbelievable and had a great performance up in Buffalo a few weeks ago when the Lightning went up there and lost 2-1. And that was another game. The Lightning played pretty well in that game, and you listened to their comments afterward, and they were pretty pleased with how they played and thought that they had the better run of the play for most of that game. But Buffalo got some incredible saves from their goaltending and was able to come out of that one with the victory. And I think that's really what's going to be the issue for Buffalo. If they can continue to get that consistent goaltending from Carter Hutton, if he can do that over, you know, an 82-game regular season, then yeah, absolutely. I think they're a playoff team, and I think they're going to be a team that not many others are going to want to play in the playoffs. But if that goaltending sputters a little bit, then maybe that confidence starts to wane. Like you said, they are a very young team, so you wonder, you know, confidence is pretty big when you're dealing with younger players. If they're feeling good about their game, then the sky's the limit. But if they're not, then it could be problems for them. But I think Hutton's going to be pretty good for them. He's played well, even if you look back to last year. He's put together a pretty good one-year run here. And I think if he can keep that up, they're going to be a playoff team, and they're going to be a team that no one really wants to play in the playoffs.
So let's talk about, because this is our first time this season speaking with you, some of the standouts from this season. And we've asked all of our guests so far this season about, you know, who's really stood out to you. And it's just ridiculous because the list is so long. You could probably list every player on our team.
I think we've gotten a different answer
from everybody.
Well, except Braden Point.
Right. But who stands out to you this season as really being like a game changer?
I mean, for me, and I hope I don't ruin your streak of getting a different answer every time, but for me, it's Ryan McDonagh.
Oh,
that's a new
that
one.
Different?
That's different.
That's a new
I think
one.
That's a new one.
Right, there we go.
I think it was a secondary with somebody, but it's your primary, so we're going with it.
Yeah, he's my primary because I've expected Braden Point not to necessarily have the season that he's having, but I thought he was going to even elevate his game to another level from last year. I think he's, you know, maybe the most valuable player on this team other than Andre Vasilevsky. And there were a couple games the Lightning lost a few games back at home, and Braden Point probably had like his two worst games in those two. And you can really tell when he's off his game, it just seems like it translates throughout the rest of the Lightning and they kind of have a poor performance. And then, you know, two nights later they came out, he had one of his best games and the Lightning won handily. So I kind of feel like with Braden Point, the team kind of goes how he goes. If he's having a really good game, I feel like the rest of the team's going to have a good game. But if he's struggling, then it seems like the rest of the team struggles a little bit. But for me, the first at least quarter or third or whatever part of the season we're in, I'd say the MVP would have to be Ryan McDonagh, just for, you know, everything he does for this team. He's the leader for time on ice. He's like tied for eighth in the NHL for blocked shots. He kills penalties. He's up near the league leaders for shorthanded time on ice. He's among the leaders for defenseman assists, for defenseman scoring. He really kind of held that blue line together when Victor Hedman was out for those seven games dealing with his injury. And I think he's been, I don't know that he'll necessarily get recognition at the end of the year for potential Norris Trophy, but you know, I think he should be in that conversation as one of the best defensemen in the league. I think he should be in the conversation for the All-Star game,
yeah,
even over Victor Hedman. And I think a lot of that, you know, Hedman's going to get dinged a little bit because he missed those games, and it's taken him a little bit to get back into his regular style of game from that injury. But I really just like everything Ryan McDonough has done this season. I thought, you know, last year we got him so late, and he was coming off the injury, and I don't know that he was ever really 100% even through that playoff run. I think he was still probably dealing with some nicks and bruises, and maybe wasn't quite, you know, where he wanted to be health-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But coming into training camp, you know, he finally had a full training camp with the team. He's coming in 100%. I think you're really starting to see everything that you got when you traded for Ryan McDonough. And I asked John Cooper that, like, during that run when Hedman was out, if this has kind of opened his eyes to what kind of player Ryan McDonough could be for him. And he kind of agreed with that you got a little taste of it last season and in that playoff run. But this year you really see just how dynamic of a player he is. He's so good defensively, and no one's going to beat him defensively. The Lightning have used him and Anton Stralman when he's healthy as that kind of shutdown defensive pair. When they need to you know, protect a lead, or they need to put those guys out against the other team's top line. Like, those are the two guys that are going to go out and be your defensive pair. But just so calm back there, and really good with he's really good with Eric Chernak, who came up and has played really well as in his NHL debut, and how he can kind of mentor Chernak and be that veteran defenseman that can guide him and show him how to play this game has been really good. And just everything that Ryan McDonough has done this season, and hopefully he's not out for too long with this upper body injury. He can get back in there, because I think he's been, you know, maybe their most valuable player all year.
And I think the play of Ryan McDonough has also kind of elevated the play of everybody else around him. Not that, you know, Victor Hedman wasn't elevating the play, but we've got three defensemen that are kind of up for grabs come the end of the season. You know, there, I think, you know, I'm not sure, but I think maybe that's up the level of compete within the team a little bit to make sure they still have a place here. Braden Coburn's play as of late has been incredible. You know, Stralman is always like, you know,
solid.
You know what you're going to get with him. And Dan Girardi, I think, has played really well this year as well.
Yeah, you know, all three of those guys. And I think coming into this year, you know, those guys are going to be unrestricted free agents after this season's over. And, you know, coming into this season, you probably looked at the three and you said, okay, the Lightning will probably want to bring Anton Stralman back. He's, you know, you don't really see much tailing off in his game yet. You feel like you can get a few more years out of him. Dan Girardi, you don't know. Maybe he's at the end of his NHL career. So you don't know if he's going to be able to come back. And I don't know that anybody really thought Braden Coburn would be a candidate to come back. But, you know, looking at what Braden Coburn did towards the end of last season and in the playoffs, where he played some of his best hockey since he's been here, and then coming into this year, he's really just carried that performance from the playoffs into this year. And like you said, he's been absolutely outstanding for the Lightning. And as a third pair defenseman, he's just been lights out. And the partnership that he has with Mikhail Sergachev, and we've seen Sergachev here of late over the last six or seven games really step up his game. And I thought he was maybe the best player on the ice for the Lightning in that game against Buffalo, at least from the blue line.
Like, I agree with
McDonough you. Like, went out. Mikhail Sergachev, it almost seemed like he took it upon himself to say, okay, I've got to step my game up within that game. I've got to step up and be a difference maker in this game, make an impact. And I thought he was fantastic in that game. So now you look at those three guys and you think, you know, this Braden Coburn, you'd like to get him for another couple years if he can continue to play at the level of play that he's at right now. And again, I think they'll try to offer Anton Stralman again as long as he's healthy and can continue to play at his level. And even Girardi, if he wants to come back for another year or two, if he feels like he's got enough in the tank, and it certainly looks like he does so far, he's still that same solid defenseman that can kill penalties for you, that will throw his body in front of a 90-mile-an-hour puck with no regard for his own health and do it regularly. you know, it's not out of the question to think that maybe they offer all three of those guys if they can figure out a way to work them in under the salary cap. But yeah, like you said, I think Ryan McDonough's been a big part of that. He's really solidified that blue line back there, and it's kind of tough for Eric Chernak and Slater Cuckoo because both of them have played well. But when all six of the regulars are healthy, I don't know who you take out to get Chernak and get Cuckoo time. And ultimately, I think that's what's going to be what leads. I think Chernak's probably going to have to go back to Syracuse once everybody's healthy, not because they don't think he's an NHL player. I think they absolutely do, and he's proven that over these 9 or 10 games that he's played. But he needs to play. He can't sit on the bench and watch from the sidelines. So if he's not playing and all six of those guys are healthy, I think he has to go back to Syracuse so he can continue to get games. And then you look to bring him up towards the end of the regular season for the stretch run and potentially in the playoffs, and you have kind of maybe a little hidden weapon that you can throw on teams during the playoff run.
All right, well, with Brian Burns, we're going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're back with more Game Misconduct and our guest, Brian Burns from the Tampa Bay Lightning. All right, so Brian, we've talked about the Anaheim game and the Buffalo game, how crazy those two games were to see within a four-day span, how different they could be. But let's look at December as a whole, because a little scary for me looking at the teams that we're going to be facing. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the Lightning are kind of in a pretty grinding part of the schedule right now, as far as it's game then day off, game day off. They're playing every other day, and it's been like this for a couple weeks now. Yeah. And that goes all the way into December as well. And the only thing that breaks that up is they have a back to back on December 3rd and 4th, and then once that's over, they get right back into the day off, game. So I think that part of the schedule is going to be tough for them to manage. There aren't really too many, and even when they have those days off, they're still practicing pretty much every one of those days off, except there's one day that they're not allowed to practice per the NHLPA. So they'll get one of those days off, but they're on the ice pretty much every day, or have been for a lot of November and for the first part of December. There's a week, I think it's the third week of December, where they have a couple days in between each game. They only play twice during the week. I think that'll be a big week for this team, just to get healthy again, get their legs back underneath of them, be able to recuperate from this really grueling stretch and grind that they're on right now. So I think that'll be a big week, and it's right before they go on a Western Canadian road trip, right before the Christmas break. So as far as the teams that they play, I really don't think that this team looks too much at the opponent. I think it's more about themselves and how they want to play, and making sure that they're playing the game the right way, and the style of game that they want to play, and they're taking care of their defensive responsibilities. And we all know the offense is going to be there, but I don't think that they look at the schedule and say, oh, okay, well, we've got Buffalo coming up, or we go in maybe like a Toronto. When you're on the road in Toronto, they know that's going to be a big game, or like anytime you go to Boston, something like that would be a big game. But I don't think they've paid too much attention to the opponent, just because they've been through this before. They know what these regular seasons are like. They know it's an 82-game schedule. You can't really get too up or down based on the opponent or based on the situation. So for me, it's just the grueling part of the schedule right now, the grind. That's the main thing that they need to manage through right now.
Do you think that's a new development for this team, not looking at the opponent? Because I know they say that in press conferences and, in the media scrums, we're not looking ahead to this game or this opponent. But do you think with the growth, because the team has really stayed intact for the last bunch of years, so do you think that's kind of a new development with them and a new outlook for them? Or because you're more around the team than we are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. Well, my first season with the team was the 2014-15 year when they went to the Stanley Cup final. And I think that team would have looked at playing in Chicago or playing, you know, a Boston or a Washington or Pittsburgh, they would have looked at that game as kind of a benchmark game or a chance to really, you know, assess where they were in the NHL and if they were at the top level or the upper echelon, and if not, what they needed to do to get there by playing one of those teams. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think this team knows that they're, you know, in the upper echelon of the NHL. They know they're one of the top teams, that people are going to come in looking at them and wanting to measure themselves against.
They're now the benchmark. Now the Lightning are the benchmark of the NHL.
They are the benchmark, and we saw that with Buffalo. I think Buffalo is maybe going through a little bit of what the Lightning were going through in 2014-15, where they're a good team, but they still need to. They need that reassurance. They need to reaffirm that by, you know, good results against some of the best teams in the NHL, they need to reaffirm that they are a good team. Maybe not just to themselves, but to the rest of the NHL world. So I think the Lightning are in that spot now where it doesn't really matter who the opponent is. And like I said earlier, they've been through these 82-game regular seasons. You can't, you know, put so much emphasis on one game and then you lose that game and then it turns into a tailspin and that leads to two or three losses after that, you know. You have to take each one of these games as they come, and you can't get too up or down from the result from that game.
Quick, before we let you go, the point, Buffalo turned around, and, you know, how much of a benchmark game was the Lightning, in my opinion? They went and lost to Panthers. Like, what, you know what I'm saying? So I think you absolutely, I love that. That might be my favorite take so far this season that we've had from a guest.
I thought that would happen, too. I thought they would go down to Florida just because they put so much into that game against the Lightning. You could tell they just really wanted to win that game, and they were just so physical, and you knew there was going to be a little bit of a letdown. And I don't think they feel – I think they feel like they acquitted themselves well in that Lightning game. They just didn't get the result. The Lightning made that one extra play at the end, was able to come out of that game with a victory. But Buffalo, they played well, and I think they showed that they are for real. At least at this point of the season. But you knew there was going to be a little bit of a letdown in Florida. I thought they did well just to get a point out of that game. Yeah, like you said, I think it was one of those benchmark games, and it's hard not to get down on yourself or to have a little bit of a letdown when you aren't able to get the result that you wanted when you put so much emphasis on one game.
All right, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure. Please remind everybody where they can find you on social media and all of your musings about the team.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, is bburns, at bburnsNHL. You can check out the website, TampaBayLightning.com. We've got regular updates and stories on there. I also do a Bolts Breakdown with Jay Retcher. We do that on Facebook, and that's every home and away game, not on the weekend. We got to work around Jay's radio schedule, but that's where you can find me.
Everywhere. We can find you everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, thank you so much, and hope you have a good holiday, and we'll catch you at the rink.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Love having Brian on.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
He is, and he's a very nice guy, too, you guys.
And a snazzy dresser.
Very snazzy.
We talked about the defense a lot, how McDonough is kind of his standout player. And, you know, we talked about how Strahlman, Girardi, and Coburn are all going to be unrestricted free agents at the end of this season. And, you know, who's going to be stuck around?
You know what? Think about this.
Okay.
And I kept the whole time we had Brian on. I'm like, this is insane. We are talking about, we have three unrestricted free agents. How can we keep them all? We don't want to get rid of anybody.
I know.
Hey, we got to send Chernik back, but can't he stay? Just, I want everybody to wrap their brain around this. We are
trade deadline last season. We are going, we still need to shore up our defense. How are we going to do this?
Hey,
what are we going to do?
Can't get good defensemen because nobody wants to get rid of them.
And then we have a Norris Trophy winner in the Norris Trophy, right? I never remember the names of the trophies. Victor Hedman won a trophy at the NHL All-Star awards. And then, you know, full camp, full off-season with Ryan McDonough.
Didn't know what was going to happen with Sergachev after last season, because sometimes there's that sophomore slump. We see a lot in defensemen. He's been playing outstanding.
I'm so glad Brian talked about Buffalo, because there were a couple plays he made, like just stripping the puck off of people and just like, I was like, oh hey.
No, I mean, just... It,
it. I want everybody to stop and think about where we are in this universe.
Where the Lightning are the benchmark, and they have the confidence to not look ahead at the teams that are coming into their building or the buildings they're going into. They're just playing their game. Think about that.
And the defense.
I'm getting chills.
The defensemen, and anybody that's listened to our show knows I love defensemen.
Yeah.
And they are playing so well.
And we have a backup goaltender in.
We haven't even talked about that because
he's playing so well. Louis Domingue, I couldn't be happier to see him play this well.
Yep.
I think the team is playing well in front of Louis Domingue. We are scoring. All lines are scoring. Like, I have chills. I have chills right now because when you think about it, all things have aligned.
They have. And I want to say, like, you know.
And it's only December.
And we don't want to be. Yes, it's only December. But I think December is the
litmus test.
Yes, it is. And
because you're getting into that grind.
And now we're going to see. And there are, you know, Buffalo and Boston. Not so sure about, you know, the Rangers, but we have the Maple Leafs and, you know, all these teams coming up. Colorado's playing so well. I mean,
we
all
play
these
Vancouver in Vancouver.
Yes. And there's a Winnipeg game in there and on that West Coast and Edmonton. And, you know, we're at the point where we're talking about a, you know, our backup goal. We're not even talking about our backup goalie because he's playing. I mean, this is just, I don't want to be a cheerleader.
Or a homer.
Gosh darn, it's hard not to be.
I mean, like we said in starting the interview with Brian Burns, like, what are we going to talk about? They're playing so well. We have to nitpick things this season to talk about because they're so impressive.
Very. And it's very complete.
And the change of perspective that we talked about, how has that been a change this season? Because, and I'm so glad he likened the Buffalo Sabres of right now to the Lightning of 2014-2015 because they were a young team. Mm-hmm. They were in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, they didn't have that experience on how to get over a tough loss. And, you know, there were those tailspins that season. And this team has that. They're like, they're still so young, but they have that experience to where, like, they lose a game against Anaheim at home. Big deal. They're going to come out two nights later to a team that's going to look at them as the benchmark and they're gunning for them and they're going to compete and play to their level and win the game with lead changes and, you know, bad goals. And there were a lot of posts in that game too. They were driving me crazy. But you just see the maturity of this team and how they've evolved because the core has stayed so intact for the most part. I just can't say enough things about this team.
Mm-hmm.
Enough good things about this team.
No.
So, anyway.
We got more good things to say.
So, The Athletic had a really, Joe Smith had a really interesting article because everybody's talking about Braden Coburn. And he was kind of one of those guys who just come out and do his job. People wouldn't talk about him a lot. They're recognizing how good of a player he is. And so the article is how speed skaters, bobsledders, and Braden Point's dad sparked Braden Coburn's resurgence with the Lightning. So during the offseason, Braden Coburn, he spends his summers working out with the Canadian Olympic Training Center in Calgary. And like 1 year in the article, it talks about how he did drills with the bobsled team. But then this past...
How does he fit in a bobsled?
No, they're not in the bobsled. Oh, they're just doing drills, like speed drills and stuff. Speed drills and off bobsled track.
Think of like cool runnings with Braden Coburn.
Yeah, he wouldn't fit in a bobsled.
I don't.
Yeah. So this past summer, he got tips from Barb Underhill, who's an amazing skating coach, and Grant Point, father of Lightning All-Star Braden Point, a Calgary native who works out at the same facility. So this is a quote from Braden Coburn. He's got a good eye for edge work and improving your stride. Once I skated with him a few times, I kind of understood where Point got it. Before Barb ever got her hands on Pointer, his dad had a part in it. Really interesting article. If you have the Athletic subscription, I highly recommend going to read this. It's quite interesting. And if you don't have an Athletic membership, I think you can like read 3 articles a month for free or something like that.
Yeah.
So we're not being paid by the Athletic
to say these
things. Or Joe Smith.
Who I want to say is doing, I really enjoy his work over there. It's real good stuff.
Really interesting, like human interest stuff. So I'm enjoying reading. I just got the subscription because there was like a Cyber Monday sale. So I bought a subscription. So really interesting. Yeah. Really interesting stories and stuff from all around the league. I just hit the mic with my hands. I talk with my you don't see it, but I talk with my hands a lot.
She's not Irish. She's Italian.
So yeah, really interesting article I suggest you go check out. Also want to talk about coming up when the Lightning are back at home. They're going to have a Toys for Tots drive. Mm-hmm. At Amalie Arena before games on December 8th and the 10th. All the info on that is at TampaBayLightning.com. It's a great way to, you come to a game, you just drop a toy off, and you kind of bring some joy to a young Tampa Bay kid who may need a couple Christmas presents this year.
Yes.
You're like playing Santa.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Dory, anything else you want to touch on before we go?
No, I am just,
Listen, you guys.
These blue liners over here got me excited.
Have you lived in Chicago before? I don't know. Listen, you guys.
I want to know. So tweet us at Game Misconduct with Izzy and let us know who. You know, if you guys agree with us and Brian Burns and whoever everybody else has said it, I want to know what your guys' thoughts on the defense are this year. And if you is Ryan McDonagh your MVP or is it Braden Point?
Yeah, who's your standout this year?
I want to know.
Yeah, because we've gotten different answers from everybody.
I don't know. Who's
like
yours, CT?
I can't pick one.
I know.
Like, they're working so well as a unit.
I could see a point for McDonagh. Absolutely.
I'd pick Rob Kennedy. He's my MVP, the assistant athletic, assistant equipment manager. He's my MVP.
It's so hard to do it. It's so hard to do it. We've seen Cooch really come on in the last few games. Like, oh,
yeah,
Johnson's
had a great year.
I mean, honestly, I don't know. There's so many of them.
I know.
And I just think this is such a great time to be a Lightning fan.
It is a great time to be a Lightning fan. And with that, we're going to go. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you next week on another Game Misconduct. Don't forget, you can follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Have a great week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.